I have already greeted those who are fathers, commended them for being here, and we're going to talk this morning about the father's choice of a father. This being Father's Day, as it's celebrated all over the world, I think it fitting today to speak of fathers and to speak of the direction of the Heavenly Father as to what an earthly father should be. God created man and woman, provided within them the ability to procreate and the specific conditions whereby such is to take place. Many have in this area, like all areas of life, forsaken God, forsaken the God-given instructions and marred this special relationship that man has the privilege of fulfilling. As we honor our Heavenly Father today and every Lord's Day in worship and service, let's always put Him first in all things. But let's take a few moments this morning to discuss the Father's choice of a father. For a text, we've chosen Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24. This being the first occurrence of the word father. As Jesus had created man, put him in the garden, created everything that man needed to sustain life, he also provided for him a mate. He created Eve from the rib of Adam. And then in verse 24, we see, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. This, of course, was spoken by the first man, speaking of his yet to be born offspring. He knew that the fulfillment of time would bring about a situation in which his own son would seek a wife, would become a father. You know, down through time, there have been many fathers, and if time continues, there'll be likely many more. But we all know that God is the Father of Jesus Christ. There's no question about that. But also, God chose a specific person, a human, to fulfill the role of fatherhood in the earthly life of Jesus. Oftentimes, I'm afraid that we forget that Jesus had human part as well. He was not just the Spirit, not just in the form of a human. He was human. He came from a human mother, although he did not have a human father. Therefore, one needed to be selected to fulfill that role of fatherhood in his earthly life. Matthew chapter 13, verses 54 through 56 shows us that many of the folks in Jesus' life, his own country, thought he was the son of Joseph. And it looks like from him being with the family, traveling with Mary and Joseph, perhaps even with his siblings a little later on, those who were born to Mary and Joseph, it would seem on the surface that Jesus was the son of Joseph. And that's what many people assumed. And when he was coming to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence hath this man these things? They did not understand the situation. Jesus Christ was not the son of Joseph. But Joseph filled that fatherhood role. In Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 42, again we see that Mary and Joseph were considered to be Jesus' parents. They were the adult influences in his life. They were the ones who provided for him the physical food that his body required, just as we provide for our children the physical food that their bodies require. In Luke chapter 2, verses 41 and 42, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. We know this is speaking about Jesus because verse 42 says, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And we know how the rest of this played out. We know how that they, in all of the travel that was going on, all of the events that were going on, didn't realize and understand that Jesus had remained back. And in verse 51, after they returned to Jerusalem, they found the young Jesus. But this passage also tells us how he responded as a young person should toward their parents. I know I've been in this situation, and many of you have been in this situation, and when you get to a certain age, you think that your parents aren't very smart. I've said it. I've said it to my siblings, and they all shook their head, yes, yes, yes. I was not too smart because I actually said it to my dad. Not a good thing. However, we got over that. I didn't think he was the most intelligent fellow in the world. But as I got older, and as I became a father, I realized that he did have some wisdom. He did have some knowledge. He certainly had experiences that I hadn't had up to that point. And then when I became a father, I realized how important it is that the children respect their earthly parents. In Luke 2, verse 51, and he went down with them, speaking of Jesus, and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. This was the way God planned things. The children are to be subject to the parents. The parents are to nurture and to help the children to grow, to become solid citizens, and to become Christians in this time, since the church has been established and since we all can be part of it. And not a great deal is known about the man who was the husband of Mary, the mother of Jesus. But there is much said about the man that God chose for this role, to represent the role of fatherhood in the life of Jesus. Let's discuss the person just a few minutes. One thing we know about this person, we don't know a great deal. We know he was a carpenter. They called him the carpenter's, called Jesus the carpenter's son. We know also from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, he was a just man. He was a serious-minded man. In verse 18 of Matthew 1, now the birth of Jesus was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, that means they were engaged. They were planning on creating a union such as God had set up in the institution of marriage. And of course, from that union of marriage would be children produced. But they were not married yet. And we know that because the next phrase says, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And Joseph was a just man. Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. In other words, this is a disgraceful thing where it used to be for a woman who was not married to be with child. I don't think that the world looks on it that way. But in the days of Jesus and even in not too many years back, this was a disgraceful thing. However, Joseph was a just man. And he was going mindful of taking care of the situation without shame upon his spouse, this one he was espoused to. But we also see in verses 20 through 25 that he was reachable. You know, it's important for a man to be reachable, approachable, one who can be reasoned with. I used to, and I'm glad I can say many years ago, would say, well, I've made up my mind on this thing, and I'm not changing from it. At that time, I was not very reachable. A good father is reachable. Many fathers will make decisions based upon how they feel right at the moment. And oftentimes, the goodness of a good wife will help him make a better decision if he's reachable. Joseph was reachable in his own right. Verse 20 says, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child. I've mentioned this on a number of occasions where some of the new Bibles, some of the new translations of the Bibles have changed this, and now it says, Behold, a young woman shall be with child. Well, there is nothing remarkable in that. Because from the time of Eve until the time that the trumpet sounds, young women will be given birth. But the Bible, the King James Bible, says a virgin shall be with child. And she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. He took unto him his wife, and he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. It is important to understand he was reachable. Psalms 1, verses 1 through 3 tells us why it was that he was reachable. A great example for us is the fact that he was reachable. A passage that applies to Joseph and applies to us as well is found there in the first Psalm. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he doth meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. God chose Joseph to be the earthly male parent of God's own son because he was just, because he was reachable, because he was stable. That's the kind of father that we need today. The father's choice of a father provides us an example. Also, this one that God had chosen to be the male parent for Jesus was responsible. He was a provider. It is important for us to understand that we are to provide. In Matthew chapter 2, going back to the early life of Christ, we see that Joseph again was approached. And as he was approached, he was given instruction. And when they were departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt. And be thou there until I bring thee word. It was important because the king at that time, Herod, was seeking to kill all of the babies within that were 2 years and younger, according to the time in which Jesus was born. And he tells that the angel told Joseph this, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And verse 14, when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. He was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. He was responsible. He provided. When the instruction was given to him, he heeded the instruction. He did what the angel said. He went where the angel said go for the reason the angel instructed him to go. We know that that was under the old law, and even during the time when the Lord directly dealt with man. But we find in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 instructions for us even for today. When an angel is not going to appear to us, not going to give us instructions. And I'll tell you something that I also learned from experience and that Joseph probably also had to figure out. Children do not come with a maintenance manual or instructions. But you can still be a good father. Joseph was. Ephesians 6, 4 applies to all fathers today. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We are to bring up our children knowing who God is, knowing how to worship God, knowing how to serve God. And that's part of our being responsible as parents. Oftentimes, people think that being responsible is just making sure that there's food, making sure that there's a structure over them, making sure that there are clothing. That's all part of it. But our charges, our children have souls. And that is the most important thing to take care of. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 9 also teaches something that the world is against. And I suspect, matter of fact, I'm almost 100% certain that Jesus never required correction like other children did. Because after all, Jesus is the Son of God. And the Bible tells us he lived without sin. But our children aren't that way. And therefore, God expects a godly father, one who is properly providing, to also provide correction. I know it's not popular today. We were watching a movie here recently. And in the movie, the mother and father were vaudeville entertainers. And they had two children. And the little boy was about 10 or 12 years old. And they came to the understanding or the realization that it was time for his first spanking. The world has already slipped at that time. Because the child that doesn't go until 10 or 12 years old to get their first bit of correction is possibly going to be problematic. Hebrews 12:9 says, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us. Now, the point, and we gave them reverence. Fathers are being honored today. And I'm sure that some children forget about the corrections that they have had, some of it, the specific times in which they were corrected, or as we used to say it, getting a whooping. But notice the point of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 9, as these Hebrews Christians were being written to, shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? We gave our earthly fathers honor, respect. Why don't we respect God? That's why Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 was spoken, at least part of the reason, in the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. If we're going to be responsible, we need to be responsible as fathers as well. And Joseph was. We know because he was reliable. You say, well, how do you know he was reliable? He did as God directed. Any man as a father that does as God directed is responsible. He is reliable. Matthew chapter 2, again, we return to the early life of Jesus. In verses 19 through 23. Remember, if you will, previously we talked about they had been Joseph had been approached by the angel. He was told to go into Egypt to take the mother and the child. Go into Egypt because Herod is seeking the child's life. But in verse 19 in Matthew chapter 2, but when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to a dream to Joseph in Egypt. It's amazing. Joseph was still in Egypt. You know why? Because prior to this, the angel had not contacted him. Previously, he said, you go into Egypt and you stay there until I call for you. He was reliable. Saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee and came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. Notice, if you will, as we've looked at this and we've seen the situation that has occurred, the child was born of a virgin. Joseph was espoused to Mary. This just man who was reachable was approached and told, go ahead and marry her, that she has done no wrong, she has not sinned. He married her, received instructions, was responsible, was reliable. He did as God directed. And at least two times we've already read this morning that it might be fulfilled by the prophet. Do you see whose hand's at work here? And friends, when it comes to fatherhood, that's God's hand at work. To raise children up, to teach them what is right, what to do. In fact, God, the Heavenly Father, is reliable as well. He's provided for all mankind. In Hebrews chapter 6, verses 16 through 20, we see this. He's not asking Joseph to do something that he wouldn't do. He has provided for us. He provided his son, and he's also provided us in many different ways. It tells us there in Hebrews 6, beginning in verse 16, for men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. That by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which we hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. You see how God has provided for us? He put Jesus here on the earth. He brought him to earth to be born just as other people are born, with the exception of the fact that his father was not Joseph. This was not the product of the union of a man and a woman. And he has provided also in that he chose for Jesus' male parent one who was just, one who was reachable, one who was responsible, and one who was reliable. And then he taught us in his word the same thing. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, we see this. We need to be aware of this, and that the provisions that one father is to make for their children is not only the physical, but most importantly, the spiritual. In 1 Timothy 5, 8, we read, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel. He is like an unbeliever. Doesn't mean that you're going to provide them or give them everything they want. That's not what providing means. Providing for your own. That's what the father's choice of a father did for Jesus. Now let's look at Joseph as the parent. He was perceptive to the needs of the young Jesus in regard to the law of Moses from the beginning. I think a lot of times when parents become parents, they forget what it's like to be a child. Children need to play. They need to have time for entertainment and enjoyment. And all of these things are important, but there are also other things that are equally important, and that is to make sure that they're brought up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. In Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 24, we see that Joseph was perceptive to the needs of the young Jesus in regard to the law of Moses from the very beginning. They were living under that law. That was the law of God to them. Jesus was born under the law of Moses and died under the law of Moses. But in Luke 2, 22, beginning, we see that he provided. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him, speaking of Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Verse 23, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. This particular child much more so, because this child is the child of God. And they also came in accordance to the law to offer sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Many are the young people when their parents raise them in accordance to the world, and their parents have the good fortune of hearing the truth at some point, and they obey the truth, or perhaps they're supposed to be Christians all along. And their children say to them, when we were growing up, we didn't do this. You didn't show us the way. The best way to teach a child is by example. Joseph set the example. Even to the point when Jesus was 12 years old and they took him to the temple, when they got away and they realized Jesus wasn't with them, they came back a day's journey, they found him, he was in the temple, and he said, know ye not that I ought to be about my father's business? The example had been set. And Jesus, of course, knew why he was here. But Joseph was perceptive to these needs. Today, fathers need to be perceptive to the needs of their charges and see to it that they always glorify God and keep his commandments. Children don't always like to be told what to do. They oftentimes use the same excuse that I've used and most all children have used, but my friends are all doing this and this and that. Or everybody's doing it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 17 and 18, we find a passage written to the church at Corinth that applies, and fathers would do well to make sure that their children know this. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord, for he that commendeth himself is approved, or not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. The Lord will commend those who do his will. Jesus did his Father's will. And as a child, he had a great example set before him. And this was the one who the Father chose to be a father for Jesus. He was also, as a parent, formed a relationship. And I think that's important. Oftentimes people will ask other people, are you close to your parents? There's not a child living that shouldn't say, yes, I am, if the parent has done what they should do. Now, there are situations and circumstances when the person will say, yeah, we're not that close. But maybe there's underlying reasons, that sort of thing. But if the parent is the type of parent that God requires Christian parents to be, children should be very close to their parents. Yes, fathers are important. Mothers are important. And since we're talking about fathers, we're talking about Joseph. We again look in Luke chapter 2, this time verses 39 through 42. We see that he formed a relationship. And when they had performed all the things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. They traveled together. They spent time together. They worked together. And this shows how Jesus was reared. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 16, this is speaking about Jesus as an adult. He had begun to travel about. He had begun to preach and teach. And as we look at that passage, we read, and he came to Nazareth, where he was brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Now, as we look at that verse, and oftentimes we are being reminded to break a verse down to see what it is saying. It is saying he came to Nazareth. Okay, we understand that. He had spent time in Nazareth. He grew up there. And as his custom was, in other words, that which he was customarily doing, he went to the synagogue. Where do you think that practice was first seen? It was seen in his father, his earthly father, the one that God chose for him. Now, of course, Jesus was indeed about his heavenly father's business, and he went into the synagogue to reach out to the Jewish people, to proclaim to them the coming of the kingdom and the fact that they needed to repent. That was the very message. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He was following the law, and he stood up for to read. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, is another passage. But this time it looks at it from the standpoint of the children, giving a commandment for the children toward the parents. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother," which is the first commandment with promise, "that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." I'm not sure that people today understand what it means to honor their father and mother. Give them a card on Mother's Day or Father's Day. Look up to them. respect them, lean on the right example that was set before you as you were growing up. Take care of them when the time comes about that you were to take care of them, because they took care of you, because you love them. A number of different things go into come into focus here. But there is a call much more important than fatherhood. You know, one of the great days in my life was when I became a father. But there are things that are greater than that. A much more important call. A much more important relationship than a man can have with his son, or that a son can have with an earthly father. And God wants all to answer the gospel call. They want all, or He wants all, to become children of that Heavenly Father. Since it is Father's Day, we talked about Joseph. We talked about the example he set. We talked about how good he was as a person, as a parent, as a leader. But God has provided in His Word the instructions so that we can become His Son, so that He can be our Heavenly Father. The big question is today, have you answered that call? Have you contemplated what it means to be a child of God? Hopefully, we don't just honor our earthly fathers on Father's Day. Hopefully, we don't just honor our Heavenly Father on the Lord's Day. But hopefully, we can now understand that it is important to have God as our Heavenly Father. Something we all need to be aware of, to realize, is that God is not your Father unless or until you answer that gospel call. Perhaps some don't even know what that gospel call is. Perhaps some have forgotten. Oftentimes it is presented as the gospel plan of salvation, and I'm going to lay it out for you as the Bible does now. Afterwards, we're going to give you the opportunity to respond to that invitation. And perhaps, if you're willing to be obedient, to become a child of God. One must hear the word of God. 1 Timothy 4:6, we read, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them. For in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." That's when they find out what it is that they are to do. We also are to believe. John 8:24 said, "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." They must repent. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, one of the first things that those believing hearers had heard, or had to realize on the day of Pentecost, they'd heard the gospel, they obviously believed, or they wouldn't ask the question, "What shall I do?" They were told to repent. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." They're also instructed, we are also instructed to confess, Romans 10 and verse 10, "For with the heart, the mind, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation." In Mark 16 and verse 16, we're told that one is to be baptized. This means to enter into the watery grave of baptism, to have their sins washed away, their soul coming forth in newness of life, a new creature. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." And having done these things, we become children of God. But then, we are to work diligently to honor our Heavenly Father by remaining faithful. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. We've read it many, many times here. "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Perhaps you're here this morning and you have heard, believed, repented, confessed, and have been baptized. And for whatever reason, you've not remained faithful. Know that you have not honored your heavenly Father. But you can return to him today. Acts chapter 8 verse 22 tells us how. Repentance and prayer. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God that perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Oftentimes people need to be reminded that this repentance, if it is sin of a private nature, can be addressed as you stand and sing or as you sit. But if it's of a public nature, it needs to be dealt with publicly. If you brought shame and reproach upon the church, now is the time to respond. If you're not a child of God and you're subject to the Lord's invitation, now is the time to respond. Let us stand and sing the invitation hymn.